Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, July 5th, 2022. Coming up this hour,
the nation grapples with gun violence yet again over the holiday weekend.
There are reports of tariff talks between the U.S. and China.
Some big bank strategists warn of a continued growth slowdown.
And Citigroup says oil could be in for a major decline in event of a recession.
WNBA star Brittany Griner pleads with President Biden to get her out of Russia. Plus, fireworks lit up the sky in New York. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
And I'm Scott Seidenberg. The Mets win. The Yankees were off. Plus, an update on Wimbledon. I'll have that and more coming up in sports.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 991 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm John Tucker.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and U.S. stock index futures are lower this morning. We are coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 22 points, Dow futures down 159, and NASDAQ futures down 84. The DAX in Germany is down 0.9%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 2.88%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.86%. NYMEX crude oil is up 1.1%, up $1.21 at $109.64 a barrel. COMEX gold little change at $1,801.40 an ounce. And the euro, 1.0306 against the dollar. The yen, 135.83. John.
And we'll have more on the markets in a moment, Karen. But first, we begin in Highland Park, Illinois, where a gunman opened fire on a rooftop at an Independence Day parade yesterday, killing at least 6 people, wounding at least 30 others. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker addressed the violence in a news conference.
I'm furious. I'm furious that yet more innocent lives were taken by gun violence. I'm furious that their loved ones are forever broken by what took place today. I'm furious that children and their families have been traumatized.
Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker is speaking to President Biden after the incident as well. The president also addressed the tragedy, saying more needs to be done to curb gun violence.
We got a lot more work to do. We got to get this under control.
A person of interest in the shooting was taken into custody late yesterday after a lengthy manhunt in the affluent community of Highland Park. There was also gun violence in Pennsylvania last night. 2 police officers were shot in Philadelphia during festivities held near the city's Museum of Art. Philadelphia Police Commissioner Danielle Outlaw says the shooter's motives were unclear.
We don't know if this was a ricochet from celebratory gunfire. We don't know if this was intentional. We don't know if this was someone taking a shot intentionally at these officers.
Philadelphia Police Commissioner Danielle Outlaw says the officers have been treated and released.
All right, John, we turn now to Washington, and the Biden administration could roll back some tariffs imposed by former President Trump. Senior U.S. and Chinese officials discussed the matter last night in what the White House calls candid and substantive discussions. There are expectations that the administration could remove levies to help ease price increases on consumers, and we get more on this story from Bloomberg's Bruce Einhorn.
People familiar say that the White House has actually asked companies to make a commitment that if the U.S. agrees to ease some of these tariffs, that companies will then pass those savings through to consumers. But people familiar say that executives of these companies said, well, no, we're not going to make that kind of commitment.
And Bloomberg's Bruce Einhorn reports there are currently U.S. tariffs on hundreds of billions of dollars in Chinese goods. However, senior members of the Biden administration appear divided about the need to lift levies.
And U.S. futures reacting positively initially to news of the U.S. potentially lifting tariffs. They have since erased those gains. Still, the news is good for sentiment, according to Deepak Mehra, who's head of investments at Commercial Bank of Dubai.
It's the recognition that the government is very conscious that they need to act on the supply side of the inflation issue, because the Fed has been slamming the brakes on the demand side, whereas the real issue is the supply. So I think trying to fix that issue is giving the markets a bit of a ease and comfort that, you know, we are finally addressing the problem where it is.
Commercial Bank of Dubai's Deepak Mehra says he expects the Fed to keep hiking rates and slam the brakes on demand.
Well, John, turning to the economic outlook, one Goldman Sachs strategist says the base case expectation is not for a U.S. recession. Gurpreet Gill is macro strategist for global fixed income at Goldman Sachs Asset Management. She says we may get a recession, but opportunity for investment will depend on its magnitude.
We do expect continued monetary tightening. You may well see a technical recession, but what really matters when you're thinking about the investment landscape and opportunities in fixed income sectors is the magnitude and sort of the characteristics of that recession.
Goldman Sachs macro strategist Gurpreet Gill expects growth to level off as rates head higher.
And another major bank painting a grim picture for the economy. Bloomberg's Renita Young joins us live with that story. Renita, good morning.
Good morning, John. With the recent drop in bond yields, investors are betting the Fed may turn less hawkish if inflation peaks in the second half of the year. But Morgan Stanley says any drop in interest rates should be interpreted as more of a growth concern rather than the Fed giving relief. Strategists there say if macroeconomic data do not confirm a recession, then equity markets could rally further. But if growth were to pull back, they say the S&P 500 may sink to 3,000 points. That's about 22% below its latest close. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. But looking at oil now, Citigroup is warning that crude could collapse to $65 a barrel by the end of this year and slump to $45 by the end of next year. That's if we get hit by a demand-crippling recession. The outlook is based on the absence of any intervention by OPEC. And checking prices now, NYMEX crude oil higher, up 0.7% at $109.15 a barrel. Brent is down 0.5% at $112.92.
And overseas European equities, they've turned lower after some initial optimism. Euro this morning weakening to the lowest level against the dollar since 2003. In the meantime, in Asia, stocks climbed overnight.
And futures this morning, as we said, moving lower, John. S&P futures down 20 points right now. Dow futures down 140. NASDAQ futures down 79. And Bitcoin is up 0.4% at $19,800. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, thanks, Karen. 5:07 on Wall Street. And time to bring in Michael Barr with more on what else is going on in New York and around the world.
John, thank you very much, sir. It was a fireworks show that did not disappoint. About 3 million people watched the Macy's fireworks show over the East River in New York City last night. One man from Queens watching the show told ABC 7 that we are resilient because we have survived a lot. WNBA player Brittany Griner wrote to President Joe Biden, pleading with him to bring her and other Americans detained in Russia back home. According to the Associated Press, Griner told Biden in the letter that she is terrified that I might be here forever. A representative for Griner delivered the letter to the White House. Another step closer to joining NATO, Finland and Sweden foreign ministers are in Brussels today for the signing of the NATO accession protocols. NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg opened the meeting in Brussels.
Today, we will formally sign the protocols of accession. This marks the start of the ratification process.
NATO's Jens Stoltenberg called today historic for Finland, Sweden, and NATO. A federal judge has ruled in favor of three major U.S. drug distributors in a $2.5 billion lawsuit, which had accused them of causing an opioid crisis in a West Virginia county. The suit said McKesson, AmerisourceBergen, and Cardinal Health distributed 81 million pills over 8 years in Cabell County, ravaged by opioid addiction. President Biden awards the Medal of Honor to four Army soldiers today. They're being honored for their heroism in Vietnam. They include retired Major John Duffy, who was wounded twice during an ambush, but refused to evacuate until the enemy could be subdued.
Each of those awards are appreciated as recognizing your endeavors, your duty that you've done, and the pride you have in your uniform that you've earned in combat.
Along with retired Major Duffy, retired specialist Dwight Birdwell will be honored and will be the first Native American awarded for service in any conflict since 1973. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. John.
Michael, thank you. And it's now 5:10 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Good morning, Scott Seidenberg.
Thanks, John. Taiwan Walker struck out 9 in 6 innings as the Mets beat the Reds yesterday 7-4. Brandon Nimmo and Francisco Lindor both homered off Reds starter Hunter Green, who has now allowed a major league leading 22 home runs this season. The Mets are the first NL team to 50 wins. Brandon Nimmo on the team's first half success.
Been a good first half. I don't think anybody would complain about it. But we also know that we have places that we can get better, and that, you know, opportunities that we haven't taken advantage of. So to know that there's more in the tank, especially with Jake and Max coming back.
And Max Scherzer comes off the IL to make the start tonight, his first since leaving the game back on May 18th. The Yankees were off yesterday. Tonight, Jameson Taillon faces his former team, the Pirates. Tennis at Wimbledon, Rafa Nadal and Nick Kyrgios advance to the men's quarterfinals. And a 4th of July tradition as Joey Chestnut wins his 15th Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest, despite being interrupted by a protester midway through. Chestnut downed 63 dogs to win his 15th title in the last 16 years. I'm Scott Seidenberg with Bloomberg Sports. John?
All right. Thanks, Scott. And ahead of the market open, we did see some green on the screen initially with U.S. futures. Right now, they are lower. Dow futures turning down 190 points. That's a decline of 0.6%. S&P E-mini futures, they're down 26 points. That's down 0.7%. And the Nasdaq E-mini futures, 100 points lower. That is down 0.9%. The euro, 103.11. That is down a full percent against the dollar. This dollar DXY seeing strength in the dollar. That's up 0.8%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Daybreak brought to you by New York Community Trust. Your name will live on as a champion of the causes you care about for years to come through a charitable bequest to the New York Community Trust.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures and European equities are falling as concern over the possibility of a recession outweighs optimism over U.S.-China talks aimed at tariff reductions. The euro at a 20-year low. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 19 points. Dow futures down 136. NASDAQ futures down 75. The DAX in Germany is down 0.9%. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd. Yield 2.87%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.85%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.7% or 72 cents at $109.13 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.1% or $2 at $1,803.50 an ounce. The euro 1.0313 against the dollar. The yen 135.72. And the British pound is at 1.2049. Looking at Bitcoin, it's up 0.7% at $19,900. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. Police say a gunman on a rooftop opened fire on an Independence Day parade in suburban Chicago, killing at least 6 people, wounding at least 30, and sending hundreds of marchers, parents with strollers, and children on bikes fleeing in terror. Police in Highland Park say a person of interest, 22-year-old Robert Bobby Cremo, is now in custody in connection to the shooting. In Philadelphia, 2 police officers were shot and wounded during 4th of July festivities held near the city's Museum of Art. So far, no arrests have been made. In baseball, the Mets won. The Red Sox, Orioles, and A's also won. The Nationals lost, along with the Giants. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. John.
Michael, thank you. It is 519 on Wall Street. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. U.S. markets reopening this morning after capping 11 declines in the past 13 weeks. Let's get you set up for the trading day ahead this morning. I'm happy to say we're joined now by Dennis Gartman, economist, the University of Akron Endowment Chair, former publisher of the Gartman Letter. Dennis, hope you had a great 4th. Good Tuesday morning to you. Have we shifted from inflation fears now to recession fears for investors?
I don't think there's any question about that. We are clearly shifting to recessionary concerns, and well, we should. Inflation seems to be abating. Take a look at the green markets. They've turned lower. Take a look at crude oil. It's trading $109 a barrel instead of $122 a barrel. Take a look at the lumber. It's down rather substantially. Take a look at livestock prices. They're down over time. Things seem to be changing, and I pay a lot of attention to what happens in the grain markets more than perhaps most other people do because they are so international in scope. But the news had been, because of the war in Ukraine, everybody wanted to be bullish of the grain markets, and they clearly topped out and gone to a lower concern. So I think recession is a far greater concern at this point. The Fed has begun the process of quantitative tightening rather than quantitative easing. The Fed clearly wants to raise the overnight Fed funds rate another 75 to 125 basis points. But far more important is what's going on in their quantitative tightening circumstance, where they're going to have to be either selling or rolling off $65 billion worth of the Treasury securities on a monthly basis. That was the fuel that fueled the bull market in stocks. That was the fuel that fueled the bull market in the economy. And that is the fuel that's being taken away. So I think you have to be very careful. As the chairman of the University of Akron's endowment, I pushed the university to sell about 12 to 15% of its portfolio of equities out of its endowment at the end of the last year, and I see no reason to change my opinion on that point. As I've always said, in a bear market, he or she who loses the least will be the winner, and right now that's the operative circumstance. He or she who loses the least will be the winner.
Jumping in any rally in the bear market, is that fool's errand?
Yes, I think it's a fool's errand. I think that you have to, instead of for a long period of time, while Tina was the answer, there was no alternative. Tina has now become, she's moved to the sidelines. Now there is an alternative. Higher interest rates are going to sap money out of the stock market. I think, as I said, the Fed is tightening monetary policy. And so rallies in equities are to be sold into. Weakness is not to be bought. That may change in another 3, 4, 5, 6 months or so. The average duration of a bear market tends to be close to a year in duration. We started this on January 5th. We have another 5 or 6 months to go on the downside. How far much lower stocks can go is anybody's guess, but I think the trend is from the upper left to the lower right.
Well, with slowing growth, I mean, does this alter the Federal Reserve's trajectory at all?
Over time, it shall, no question about it. But they've made it abundantly clear that they intend to raise the overnight Fed funds rate at least 75 basis points at the July meeting. They made it, I think, reasonably clear that they intend to raise another 50 basis points at the meeting after that. They have to remain consistent and not back down from what they've said in the past. So I think that the Fed funds rate goes another, 75 to maybe 125 basis points from here. Then maybe later in the autumn, maybe later in the winter, the Fed can change its policies. But right now, the Fed has made it abundantly clear that it intends to raise the overnight Fed funds rate, and it really has to do so. Otherwise, it loses credibility.
Can you deliver probability of recession? If so, how long, how deep?
Well, I've always said since for the last 3 months, I said the odds of a recession in 2022 were 60 to 70% as long as the overnight Fed funds rate move to an inversion, and if the spot rate of WTI got above $109 a barrel, we've been above $109 a barrel. We have not gone to an inversion yet, so I'll continue to hold the fact that we've got a 60 to 70% probability of recession in 2022. I'll raise it to 75 to 80% in 2023 because of the classical definition that a recession requires two consecutive declines in GDP quarter over quarter. The second quarter GDP will probably be marginally higher. So given the fact that the first quarter GDP was negative, the second quarter GDP will probably be modestly positive. So that means that in order to justify the classical definition, we have to wait till the third or fourth quarter this year. And I think both those quarters will be negative GDP growth.
Dennis, always a pleasure. Thanks for being with us this morning. Dennis Gartman, University of Akron Endowment Chairman, former publisher of the Gartman Letter, ahead of the cash open on Wall Street. Futures right now in the red. The Dow futures down 0.5%, 165 points lower. S&P E-mini futures down 22. That's down 0.6%. And the NASDAQ futures 84 points lower. That is down 0.7%. Dollar DXY, that is up 0.8%. Continued dollar strength. The euro, 103. That's down 1%. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by the New York Community Trust. Your name will live on as a champion of the causes you care about for years to come through a charitable bequest to the New York Community Trust. Learn more at philanthropist.nyc.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm John Tucker.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 4 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. We begin in Highland Park, Illinois, where a gunman opened fire on a rooftop at an Independence Day parade yesterday, killing at least six people and wounding at least 30 others. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker addressed the violence in a news conference.
A little while ago, I spoke with President Biden, who pledged all support the White House can provide. The president agrees with me. This madness must stop.
Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker, a person of interest in the shooting, was taken into custody late yesterday after a lengthy manhunt in the affluent community of Highland Park.
And now turning to Washington, this word, the Biden administration could roll back some tariffs imposed by former President Trump. Senior U.S. and Chinese officials discussed the matter last night in what the White House calls candid and substantive discussions. There are expectations from the White House that removing levies could help ease inflation pressures on consumers.
Well, John, turning to the economy now, we may get a recession, but opportunity for investment could still be positive depending on the magnitude of the slowdown. That's according to Goldman Sachs macro strategist for global fixed income, Gurpreet Gill. Either way, she says the labor market will feel a pinch.
We'd say that there's so much uncertainty. We're going to have to monitor the data closely. The expectations for this year is for the unemployment rate to remain stable, but for the pace of job gains to moderate.
And Goldman Sachs macro strategist Gurpreet Gill expects growth to level off as rates head higher.
Meantime, another major bank painting a grim picture for the economy. And Bloomberg's Renita Young joins us live with that story. Renita, good morning.
Good morning, John. With the recent drop in bond yields, investors are betting the Fed may turn less hawkish if inflation peaks in the second half of the year. But Morgan Stanley says if any drop in interest rates happened, it should be interpreted as more of a growth concern rather than the Fed giving relief. Strategists there say if growth were to pull back, the S&P 500 may sink to 3,000 points. That's about 22% below its latest close. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. And looking at oil this morning, Citigroup is warning crude could collapse to $65 a barrel by the end of this year and slump to $45 by the end of next year should a demand-crippling recession hit. Checking prices right now, NYMEX crude oil up about 0.5% at $108.93 a barrel. Brent is lower at $112.74. Your local headlines straight ahead, and this is Bloomberg.
All right, thanks, Kara. 5:33 on Wall Street. Time to bring in Michael Barr with more on what else is going on in New York and around the world.
John, thank you very much. It was a fireworks show that did not disappoint. The Macy's fireworks show lit up the sky over the East River in New York City last night. About 3 million people watched the show. After more than 4 months of ferocious fighting, Russia claimed full control over one of the two provinces in Ukraine's eastern industrial heartland. However, there are signs Russia is sustaining heavy losses. Another step closer to joining NATO, Finland and Sweden foreign ministers are in Brussels today to start the ratification process. NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg opened the meeting in Brussels.
This is truly an historic moment for Finland, for Sweden, and for NATO.
NATO's Jens Stoltenberg. WNBA star Brittany Griner sent a letter to President Biden. Griner, who is being detained in a Moscow prison, told the president, "I'm terrified. I might be here forever." Griner adds she misses her wife, her family, and her teammates while making a direct plea to the president, writing, "I realize you are dealing with so much, but please don't forget about me and the other American detainees." President Biden awards the Medal of Honor to four Army soldiers today for their heroism in Vietnam. They include retired specialist Dwight Birdwell, who took enemy fire to his face and torso, but still managed to get his commander to safety and disrupt the enemy assault.
"What a way to celebrate the 4th. Save my fellow servicemen. I did it twice. Went into an enemy held village at night, couldn't see. The only light was illumination from the enemy fire and our fire."
Retired specialist Dwight Birdwell will be the first Native American awarded for service in any conflict since 1973. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. John.
Michael, thank you. Yeah, it's now 5:35 on Wall Street. That's time for the Bloomberg Sports Update, and here's Scott Seidenberg.
Good morning, John. Another solid outing from Taijuan Walker as he struck out 9 in 6 innings as the Mets beat the Reds yesterday 7-4. Dom Smith, who had a 2-run double in the game, talked about Walker afterwards.
"I think it's been awesome. He's just showing what he showed us last year when he was an all-star. So it's something that he's capable of doing."
Brandon Nimmo and Francisco Lindor both homered in the win. The Mets are the first NL team to 50 wins this season. And tonight, welcome back Max Scherzer, making his first start since leaving the game back on May 18th. The Yankees, meanwhile, were off yesterday. Tonight, Jameson Taillon faces the Pirates, his former team. Tennis at Wimbledon, Rafa Nadal and Nick Kyrgios advance to the quarterfinals. And a 4th of July tradition as Joey Chestnut wins his 15th Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest, despite being interrupted by a protester midway through. Chestnut downed 63 dogs to win his 15th title in the last 16 years. I'm Scott Seidenberg with Bloomberg Sports. John?
All right, Scott. Thanks a lot. It is 5:37 on Wall Street. Time down for the Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. For that, we're joined by Ed Curry.
The Hamptons' COVID-era buying frenzy is a thing of the past. May sales numbers were lackluster, according to a Douglas Elliman report, with new signed contracts for single-family homes down 38% from last May, even as 14% more listings came onto the market. Sales at Pret-a-Manger cafes near Wall Street are still only half of what they were before the pandemic, as COVID cases increase in New York City. The new wave is curbing banks' ambitions to bring workers back. Bloomberg's Pret Index shows that transactions in New York's financial center have hovered around the 50% mark for weeks. Givenchy has opened its first location downtown in New York's Soho neighborhood. Located at 94 Green Street, the 3,500-square-foot boutique is the brand's 6th freestanding location in the Americas and the first to open in 4 years. It's also Givenchy's 2nd Manhattan location. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Curry.
All right, thanks, Ed. It is 5:37 on Wall Street, and Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in now with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KTRH in Houston. Citibank is warning oil may collapse to $65 if a recession hits.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WFLA in Orlando, we're looking ahead to Friday and the June jobs report.
I'm Lisa Mateo, and on KYW in Philadelphia, I'll be reporting on how Hollywood cutbacks could affect your viewing pleasure.
I'm Stephen Carroll on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We've been reporting on shares surging for the German gas giant Uniper after Bloomberg reported talks over a government bailout.
I'm Ed Curry on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting Kellogg has lost a bid to block the UK's new curbs on the promotion of unhealthy foods.
And those are some of these stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. It's 5:39 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
Later in July,
The U.S. public health emergency that's been in place since early 2020 is scheduled to end. One unanticipated consequence? Millions of Americans could lose their health insurance. Here's why. In the early days of COVID-19, the government offered states extra Medicaid funding so long as they didn't boot anyone off the program during the public health emergency. Whenever the emergency ends, and it could be extended further, states will need to restart eligibility assessments for more than 80 million Medicaid beneficiaries. Millions could lose their coverage in the process. Federal and state officials will need to work closely to prevent this from happening. For example, the federal government could phase down its extra Medicaid payments slowly, encouraging states to reassess their rosters more methodically and reducing the risk of administrative errors. Pandemic-era spending won't last forever, but lawmakers can smooth the transition to avoid a crisis. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Opinion Editorial Board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And Bloomberg Opinion editorials can be heard every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. Ahead of the cash open on Wall Street, the Dow futures 144 points lower. That's down 0.5%. S&P E-mini futures down 20 points. That's down 0.5%. And the Nasdaq futures 76 points lower. That is down 0.7%. Euro at 103, down 1% against the dollar. Dollar DXY showing strength this morning, up 0.9%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Still ahead, if the U.S. rolls back tariffs on Chinese goods, will it have much of an impact on inflation? We'll put that question to Enda Curran, the Chief Asia Economics Correspondent for Bloomberg News.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day
at Bloomberg.com,
the Bloomberg Business App,
and at Bloomberg Quick Take.
This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and U.S. stock index futures and European equities are falling as concern over the possibility of a recession outweighs optimism over U.S.-China talks aimed at tariff reductions. The euro around a 20-year low. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 22 points, Dow futures down 162, and NASDAQ futures down 88. The DAX in Germany is down 1.2%. The 10-year Treasury down 3/32, yield 2.89%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.88%. NYMEX crude oil, little change at $108.37 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.1% or $2.50 at 18.04 an ounce. The euro 1.0291 against the dollar. The British pound 1.2037 and the yen at 135.73. Bitcoin, it's lower, down 0.4% at $19,670. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. A gunman on a rooftop opened fire on an Independence Day parade in suburban Chicago, killing at least 6 people, wounding at least 30 others. Police in Island Park said the man, named as a person of interest in the shooting, was taken into police custody last night after an hours-long manhunt. 2 Philadelphia police officers have been released from the hospital after they were shot during a 4th of July celebration where they were working security. It is unclear whether the shootings were intentional, and there have been no arrests so far. In baseball, the Mets won, the Red Sox, Orioles, and A's also won. The Nationals lost along with the Giants. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg, John. Michael, thank you. It is 5:49 on Wall Street. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. Well, investor sentiment was getting a bit of a lift this morning on where the Biden administration may be close to cutting tariffs on Chinese goods. And Curran is our Chief Asia Economics Correspondent, joining us this morning with details. So what do we know at this point, Enda?
So, John, there are a couple of things going on. This morning, we had a readout of a call between top U.S. and Chinese economic officials. On the Chinese side, led by the Vice Premier, and the U.S. side, led by the Treasury Secretary. They discussed tariffs on goods, they discussed sanctions, and they discussed areas where there could be perhaps cooperation around ensuring global supply chains are functioning smoothly and the like. We didn't get much more detail than that, but that call was the first such call since October, and it does add momentum to this idea that our colleagues are reporting out of Washington that the Biden administration is moving toward lifting tariffs off at least some Chinese goods. Now, we don't yet have the exact details on what's coming down the pipe there in terms of what goods it will be. Will it be industrial or consumer? By how much of those tariffs will be reduced and what kind of time frame there will be, and indeed whether or not China will reciprocate. But, you know, as you say, on a headline basis, it looks like some progress on China-US trade talks, but fairly incremental, and I wouldn't say it changes the overall backdrop of tension between both governments.
Would this be unilateral, or do we have to wait for China to move?
We don't have a sense on that from our reporting yet, John. I mean, you have to think on the U.S. side, for example, this has been driven by the inflation story. It's there. However, economists this morning were actually reacting that if you were to roll back these tariffs, the impact would be fairly muted in terms of what it would do to bring down U.S. inflation, in which case you have to ask then how much of a political hit would President Biden be willing to take going into his own midterm elections over there. So there's a lot that he has to consider about in terms of if he doesn't want to be seen as being soft to China, in which case it raises the question, what would China do in return? Would they do anything in return? I think that's going to become one of the talking points. We have reported out of Washington before that there might be a call between Xi and Biden over the summer months, so perhaps we might get detail closer to them.
Hey, remind everybody why the tariffs were imposed in the first place.
The broad backdrop was complaints of unfair trade against China by the U.S. government under then-President Trump. The thinking was that China undervalues its currency, that they don't allow fair access to its markets, and, of course, they were accused of theft of intellectual property. China, of course, pushes back on those charges, but nonetheless, the U.S. pushed ahead with tariffs on merchandise goods, on goods worth $300-odd billion. It didn't do much, though, to slow Chinese exports to the U.S. In fact, China's exports and trade surplus grew during the pandemic, given the appetite for U.S. consumers to buy Chinese goods. I should say, by the way, on the flip side, if these tariffs do come down, neither are they expected to do much for Chinese manufacturers this time. They are suffering now from slowing demand in the U.S. due to inflation. And again, this morning, most people were saying that if tariffs come down, that won't really change that story either.
All right, Enda, we'll leave it there. Thanks very much for the update. Appreciate it. Enda Curran, Bloomberg Chief Asia Economics Correspondent. Karen.
John, thank you. And Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Informatica. In the cloud, your data has the power to do the extraordinary. Manage data across any location in the cloud for accurate and actionable insights. More at Informatica.com. It is 5:52 on Wall Street. Time for our Bloomberg Law Report. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
Proposed settlement filed in a New York state court indicates Google agreed to pay $22 million to resolve claims of gender and racial bias in job assignments. A former Northeastern University employee accuses the Boston-based school of filling its retirement plan with high-cost, underperforming investments and allowing the plan to pay excessive administrative fees. A music industry news release says the Copyright Royalty Board restored an increase in the royalty rate to be paid to songwriters by streamers such as Spotify.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
All right, Jeff, thank you. Now another legal story we're watching. On the last day of the term, the Supreme Court issued a blockbuster decision limiting the Environmental Protection Agency's authority to reduce greenhouse gas emissions from power plants, handcuffing the Biden administration in its efforts to tackle climate change. The decision was 6-3 down ideological lines. And the theory the court used to justify the ruling could have serious ramifications for federal agencies. For more, Bloomberg's June Grasso speaks to environmental law professor Pat Parento of the Vermont Law School.
Pat,
President Biden call this another devastating decision that aims to take our country backwards. Is it that ruinous?
Yeah, I don't think it's that bad. I understand why he's saying that. I mean, you know, the sheer fact that the Supreme Court did not take into account the reason that EPA was adopting this rule, which was to deal with the existential threat of climate change, is jaw-dropping. I mean, how can a court not take account of what the agency's trying to do in the face of the threat, right? So Biden is right to say it's devastating in the sense that we don't have a court that is willing to seriously engage with the nature of the problem that regulations are trying to deal with. That is devastating. But the effect of the decision itself, that's not devastating. For example, EPA has right now in the works four other rules that are aimed at coal-fired power plants. What I'm saying is, yes, EPA lost a major tool with the West Virginia decision, but they're not helpless. They have other ways of hastening the end of the coal era. And I do think coal is the walking dead. I think we're going to be done with coal within a decade, even without this rule. The marketplace is already moving our energy system in the right direction.
The chief uses the so-called major questions doctrine. This is the first time a majority opinion has explicitly used that doctrine to justify a ruling.
Yes, this new version of major question is problematic because, you know, we don't know what major means. You know, a rule can have major effects that could be beneficial. You know, they're big, but they're good. The court doesn't distinguish between something that's big and good or big and bad. It just sort of says if an agency comes up with what the court views anyway as a new interpretation of an old statute. And by the way, in the West Virginia case, Roberts goes out of his way to make fun of this provision that EPA is relying on. He called it the backwater provision. It's like, what? I mean, it's the law. Congress doesn't write statutes and say, here are the really important provisions. The rest of them, don't worry about it. So this is a matter of convenience for the court. If it doesn't like the rule that an agency has adopted, if the court majority thinks an agency is, quote, driving outside its lane or arrogating new authority to itself, then it's going to say, oh, that's a major question. We give you no deference. We're going to rule as a matter of law. You just simply can't do it.
And that's Professor Pat Parento at the Vermont Law School speaking with Bloomberg's June Grasso. Catch more of that interview, plus analysis of the latest legal news by subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast or downloading the show at Bloomberg.com/podcast. Attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com and on the Bloomberg Terminal at BLawGo. S&P futures lower this morning, down about 18 points. Dow futures are down 131 and NASDAQ futures down 72. The 10-year Treasury down 4/32, yield 2.89%. The yield on the 2-year is at 2.89% as well. NYMEX crude oil up 0.1% or 15 cents at $108.57 a barrel. And COMEX gold up 0.1% at $18.03.30 an ounce. Still ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak, a check on the business headlines and all the news you need to start your day. And this is Bloomberg.